on Wednesday night. We've been talking about storms of disappointments, which I'm going to talk about tonight. We've been talking about storms of loneliness. We've been talking about different storms that we go through over the last few weeks. And so tonight I want to speak to you on surviving the storm of disappointment. Now, I just want to ask you a question. Has anybody here ever been disappointed at anything in your life? Let me see your hand. Have you been disappointed when you go out to eat sometimes? Let me see your hand. It didn't bring the food on time or something wasn't cooked right. Have you been disappointed if you're married and your spouse? Now be careful how you raise your hand real high on that one. Amen. You might want to answer that one silently. Have you ever been disappointed with your children? Come on now, be honest with you. You know, sometimes they didn't always do what you had led them to do, instructed them to do. Have you ever been disappointed with the preacher? Come on now. I mean, no hands, pastor, has lifted up. Amen. Praise God. Every now and then we'll get disappointed at the bishop. I know I talk to preachers sometimes and they're disappointed at the bishop. But, you know, have you ever been disappointed at God? That's a question to think. Maybe you thought God should have handled something differently. Maybe you wondered why God didn't handle something differently. Maybe you prayed for healing and it didn't come. Come on. Have you been disappointed sometimes with God? Now, maybe you don't want to admit it, or maybe you've never been disappointed with God, but it's something that we all wrestle with, is disappointment. It is a storm that we go through. And I want to talk to you tonight in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and then Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 and Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Beth Stevens is coming on the last Sunday of March. I've already started inviting people to that service. That's the Sunday before Easter. Let me tell you, we've got three Sundays in a row. Good gracious. Three Sundays in a row. Beth Stevens, the last Sunday of March. That's Palm Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday night, then Easter Sunday, and then the Sunday after that, Trey Ward will be here preaching and singing. So we've got three Sundays in a row. We're going to spring forward. You know, the time changes in a few weeks. We're going to spring forward, amen, to what the Lord wants us to do. If you're at Matthew chapter 7, would you say amen tonight? If you're glad to have Pastor and First Lady back tonight, say amen. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. Great was the fall of it. So that's what we want to do. We want to survive those storms. Those storms are hard. They're heavy. They're sometimes unending. You think, when will it be over? But we are going to get through it. Amen? We are going to survive the storm of disappointment. Now go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. If you're there, say amen. Then said he, I'm just going to read the first part of this. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It's impossible but that offenses, and I'm going to also tag along with this, offenses/disappointments. I thought about this was a good scripture to tie these two in together, because I'm going to intertwine offenses with disappointment. So pray with me tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, anoint your servant to preach the word of God. Thank you tonight, Lord, that you will help us to survive the storms of life. Lord, thank you, God, for what you're doing at Westmoreland. Help us to go fishing for Easter. I pray, God, as I preach, that I would decrease, that you would increase, that your word would go forth tonight, and we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen, and tell somebody you're blessed and highly favored of God. Amen. You're blessed and highly favored of God. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus here plainly states that offenses will come. Say that with me. Offenses will come. Without question, there will come times of frustration, of pain, of sorrow, of question, and of disappointment. Offenses will come. When we will have hurt or been disappointed, there will come times when we will have been hurt or disappointed. The Bible tells us this throughout the scripture. There are times, the Bible says, when enemies will be of our own house, in Micah chapter 7 and verse 6. There are times that families will be divided. You talk about a storm of disappointment, let it happen in your family. There are times, the scripture says, when the love of many will wax cold. An unloving, uncaring environment. That's the land that we live in today. Don't get on Facebook or Twitter without seeing just venom and people being so direct. And people will post things on Facebook they will never say to a person face to face. Or at least in that spirit of that. Somebody said, I don't want Facebook. I want to look you in the face. Amen. A face look, not Facebook. And so, and we just live in a volatile atmosphere. We live in a time when alcoholism is at an all-time high. We live in a time of teenage pregnancy, rape, those who've been molested, incest. We're living in a storm of violence and a storm of unbelief and a storm of debauchery and rebellion. It is impossible, but that these things are going to come. They are coming your way. The storm warning is out. The red flags are flapping in the gale of the wind. And the news is crawling underneath the video of your mind. A storm is coming. But let me tell you, it is impossible that storms will come, but it is impossible that you can be taken out by any of the storms of life. If you're founded on the rock. You can not only overcome the storms, you can outlast the storms, you can survive in the storms, and bless God, you can take it one level higher. You can not only survive the storms, you can thrive through the storms. You know those old palm trees, they're waving in that storm, but did you know that it makes their roots even stronger and even deeper? And it's through the storms, because the Christians go through it, the sinners go through it, but when we go through it, it makes us stronger, better. We come out blessed and highly favored of God. Somebody say, I'm going to survive the storm of life, and I'm going to thrive in the storm of life. You see, the real issue is not that we will have offenses or disappointments, but what will we do with those? You see, the Greek word for offense is the word scandalon. It's the same word that we get the word scandal from. And here is the word picture. So in the trappers of the animals, they would dig a hole and put stuff over the hole so that an animal couldn't see there was a hole. And on top of the debris to cover up the hole was a piece of alluring bait or meat or something that would cause that animal, that unsuspecting animal. And that bait or that meat was called the scandalon. And it was literally the bait that the trappers would use. And so when the animal would go for the bait, they would fall into the pit. And so offenses is really the bait of Satan. Disappointments can be a bait of Satan. When we fall into the trap of quitting church, we fall into the trap of stop reading our Bible. When we fall into the trap, that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. But my friend, if you know what the bait is, and you know what the scandalon is, then you can, to be forewarned, it's to be forearmed, and you can survive the storm of life. You don't have to go down into the pit when you're hurt, when you're troubled, and when you're offended. You can respond correctly and glorify God, and then the devil will fall. The Bible says they will fall into their own trap, because God can give you the wisdom and the favor. And if you believe it tonight, can you say amen? Amen. So how do we respond to being disappointed? And so Paul Jackson, you ever heard of Paul Jackson? He's kind of got curly gray hair. When he preaches, he kind of puts his shoulders back and his knees bent down. One arm is crooked. Sometimes he'll throw out his leg and he'll turn red and he'll just let you have it. You know who I'm talking about. Sometimes we call Paul Jackson Action Jackson. And I haven't heard him preach in years, but many, many services in this building, when I was the pastor here, we would, the last Sunday of every year was Paul Jackson Sunday. I mean, we would have, moving up to come in, we would end the service with a Paul Jackson revival, and then we'd bless him too, because it's hard to get revivals that time of the year, so it was a win-win situation. Oh, I'm telling you. And then during the summer, we would have him, but he used to talk about being hurt in the church, and here's how he said you should handle it. When you've been hurt in the church, don't nurse it, don't curse it, don't rehearse it, you disperse it, and God will reverse it. Thank you, Brother Paul. Can you praise God for that tonight? Don't nurse it. Come on. Don't curse it. Don't rehearse it. You disperse it, and God will reverse it. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. That's good preaching. So I'm going to borrow that outline from Brother Paul. And I'm going to step through that. When you've been disappointed, when you've been offended, when you've been hurt. Number one, don't nurse it. Some people just want to pull out a violin and listen to Beethoven. Because they're gonna milk their problems for all they're worth. They're gonna tell you every minute detail. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with sharing your needs. There's nothing wrong with saying, Pastor, I'm going through this because of this. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the people that they just cannot get over what God has already empowered them to get over. And really, they're nursing that hurt. They're nursing. You want to know if you're nursing that hurt? Because here's a way to nurse that hurt. If it happened 5 years ago or longer, you're probably nursing it. Well, you just don't remember what's happened to me back in 19, whatever. When you put the word 19 in front of folks, we're in 2000s, okay? We're 18 years into the new century. Get with it, amen? The past is over. Quit nursing it. You know what nurses do in a hospital? You think of that. If you're in the hospital, those nurses come by, they do two things. They feed you and they frequent you. What do you mean? They feed you. I mean, those nurses are going to make sure you're fed. About 12 o'clock, they're going to roll in with some food. About 5 o'clock, they're going to roll in with some food. But they're feeding you. They're feeding you because you need to be fed. You're not at home. And that's what a lot of people do with their hurts and their offense. They keep feeding it. They keep feeding it by listening to the wrong voices. Wrong voices means wrong choices. That Mark Antony speech, friends, Romans, countrymen. What's the next part? Lend me your ears. Okay, you need to be careful who you lend your ears to. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't want to nurse my problems. And I don't want to keep feeding my problems. I don't want to keep feeding the hurt, the shame, the disappointment. I know one preacher in particular who had a bad situation. And every time you see him, he's feeding on that. Brother, sister, it's time to starve those hurts. It's time to starve. God is on the throne. He's up to something. He is the healer of your body, soul, and spirit. It's a new day. It doesn't matter what people have done to you. Don't nurse it, glory to God. Don't feed it in the name of Jesus. Feed yourself the right stuff. Health and forgiveness and wholeness and bless going in and bless going out. Somebody ought to give him a hand of praise tonight. I said don't nurse it. You know, infrequent. You know, nurse going to come. I know when my daddy was in the hospital, by the time I fell asleep, boom, the nurse would come in the door. Then another nurse would come in the door. Frequent. So don't frequent your disappointments. Don't frequent it. Instead of going on, and instead of growing on, instead of releasing the power of God into our lives for healing, we nurse our hurts. We feed our hurts. We frequent our hurts. We keep going back to our hurts. I'm going to get to that a little bit later. But that's not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to, listen, we're supposed to go on and we're supposed to grow on. Amen? One of the ways not to nurse your hurt is to quit blaming others. And also to take responsibility. There are some people, they think, man, I've never hurt anybody. I've never said anything wrong. They are always the recipients of the wrong end. Have you ever thought about it? Maybe you might have said something wrong. Is it possible that you might have failed the Lord? I know you're holy. I know you're godly. I know you have good intentions. But we all fail in the best of our intentions. I've had people, sometimes my wife will come to me and said, honey, you hurt my feelings. I had no idea I hurt a feeling. And I look back and I'm like, you know what? That was pretty dumb. Oh, don't say amen out there. Come on. We inadvertently can hurt people. When you march by somebody and don't shake their hand. Hey, listen to me. When you march by somebody and don't shake their hand, you've hurt that person. When you walk in this door, you need to shake hands and hug necks because somebody, and you may miss somebody, but if you do it like five times in a row, you've hurt that person. Can I get, oh Lord, the anointing's left me now. Have mercy. Oh pastor, you might need to bail me out of this one, brother. Hallelujah. But friend, I'm just being honest with you, folks. When you see somebody shaking hands with five people here and you're the only one that hadn't shook hands with, you're like, oh yeah, everybody, how about shake hands right now? Don't nurse it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's why we have fellowship time. Amen. Praise God. But listen, you know, maybe you don't intend that to happen. By the way, this is not in my notes. Amen. But you know why I'm saying that? Because as a pastor, the number one complaint that I've had as a pastor is, pastor, you didn't shake my hand. Oh, come on now. Help me out. Help me out. I meant to. I didn't get to you. But listen, let me get off this quick. Number one, don't nurse your hurts. If you believe it, say amen. Move on. Grow on. You see, it's one thing to hurt. It's one thing to be disappointed. It's another thing not to grow through that. I hope I'm a stronger man than I was 5 years ago. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I've not graduated yet. I'm not going to nurse my pain. I'm not going to nurse the hurts. So number one, when you've been disappointed, please don't nurse. Say it all together. Don't nurse. And number two, don't curse it. I've always heard this little saying that if you're in the dark, don't curse the darkness, but do what? Light a candle. And that's the way it is with our disappointments. Our hurts have happened. Our disappointments are happening or will happen. But there's no need to complain. There's no need to say I'm the only one. There's no need to say nobody understands. There's no need to say God must not love me. There's no need to curse your hurts. So you may wonder why God allowed you to go through that, but don't curse it. Sometimes the things that we go through that hurt us, that offend us, that are really a blessing in disguise. Come on. I know it was bad. I know you can't figure it out, but did the scripture not say that all things work together for good? To them that love God and those that are called according to His purpose, we say that scripture almost without thinking. We got to think it. All things. So don't curse the hurt. Don't curse the offense. Don't curse the person. You don't know what that person was going through when they hurt you. Come on. You don't know what you don't know the enemy tries to destroy and divide churches. And please, we've got to quit cursing one another, cursing events. We can't answer these questions. I don't know why God allows things in our lives. So I'm not going to curse it. I'm just going to say, Lord, for whatever reason, you know why you shouldn't curse it? Because the Bible says this. He turns the curse into a what? Shout it out loud. A blessing. You see, why curse it? When God's going to say, good gracious, the name slips my mind, Balaam. Balaam is trying his best to do something, but he's on an animal. He's on a donkey. And the donkey won't move. And he's cursing that donkey and he's kicking that donkey. But what Balaam didn't see was an angel with a sword about to decapitate him. And so he's cursing. Don't curse it sometimes. There's a reason sometimes for the delay. There's a reason sometimes your alarm clock doesn't go off. And I'm not talking about not having character. I'm not talking about giving it as an excuse. I'm talking about when you're consistent, but one day, maybe for some odd reason, your alarm clock doesn't go off and you're 5 minutes late. Don't curse that, because it might have spared you from something you didn't realize. Amen. Praise God. Don't curse that boss that's tough on you, that's hard on you. God's so quiet, isn't he? Am I the only one that's had a tough boss? We all have had a tough boss. And some of you listening to me, when you're out there, don't curse that, because sometimes, you know what? When a boss gets tough with me, I double down and try to get as good as I can get. Amen. I can tell you what, on the inside, what I feel like is just like any other human. Give them a piece of my mind. Rebel. I'll show him or I'll show her. You know what that is? That's cursing it. No. We respond differently. Somebody say those two words. We respond differently. When we've been cursed, we bless. When we've been hit, we turn the other cheek. Amen. Now, turn the other cheek means personal insult and injury. If somebody personally insults and injures you, you just turn the other cheek. You just turn it. Well, he's hit me that way, so I'm going to turn the other cheek. He's going to hit me that way. Well, what do I do now? Then you do this. You look up. Amen. You trust God. You don't curse it. Now, that scripture, turn the other cheek, does not teach us to not defend the helpless. It's not, and that doesn't teach us that a country should not defend its borders. Can I get a witness out there? That's an abuse of that scripture. But it's talking about personal injury, everyday living, that when somebody does us wrong, we turn the other cheek, we stand up for what's right, and we don't curse it. We let God do the work in our lives. Amen. When we've been disappointed, we don't understand these things. In Enterprise, Alabama, there is a unique monument. Has anybody ever been to Enterprise, Alabama? Has anybody ever been to Alabama and lived to tell about it? Come on. I've gone through Alabama a few times. I think it's a good state. I think it's good people down there. It's the South. Amen. A good southern state. When I was a pastor, my office was back here where the pastor's office is now. And about once a year, the phone would ring and I would answer the phone. And it'd be this girl from Alabama. She had the most country accent and she wanted us to buy t-shirts for the church every year. You could count on. Does she still call? She don't know. She don't call that. But listen, in Enterprise, Alabama, they've got a monument. And there's a plaque, and I started to get a picture, and I just didn't have time to pull it together. It's a plaque that was erected to celebrate the boll weevil. Now you say, what in the world is that all about? For years, this area thrived on growing cotton. And one year, the boll weevil came along and stopped the growth of their cotton, and they stood on the verge of economic collapse. So the boll weevil came in, ate all their cotton. They couldn't make money, and they were about to collapse economically. And so, what are we going to do? So somebody came up with the idea, well, let's grow peanuts instead. And it turned out they made so much more money growing peanuts than they ever did making cotton. And so now the boll weevil that they dreaded and that they hated and that destroyed what they thought was their lives, they now have built a monument to it. Because if it wasn't for that boll weevil, they would have made even greater and more with peanuts. Don't curse it. Hallelujah, somebody. When you've been disappointed, don't nurse it. And don't curse it. And point number three, don't rehearse it. Oh, don't re repeat and rehash and regurgitate and the old issues, and don't replay the scenes in your mind of you've been hurt or rejected or you've been disappointed or rehashing old things. Paul said, brethren, this one thing I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the for the prize of the high, somebody say, the high calling of God. I'm going to be a survivor of this storm. I'm not going to rehearse the storm. I'm going to reflect on the glory that is to come. Amen. Yeah, weeping may endure for the night. Yeah, the storm is coming down hard, but I'm not going to rehearse it. I'm going to praise God that beyond the storm, there's victory and glory and blessing. He'll bless me going in and bless me coming out. He'll bless me in the city and he'll bless me in the country. Why do I need to rehearse all the pains of yesterday? Why don't I just rehearse the glory of God and the promises of God that are 30,000 strong? Somebody say amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. I'm not going to rehearse it. The word forget means to neglect. And that's what we need to do with our hurts. We need to neglect them. Amen, somebody. And I'm preaching as a 46-year-old minister. And I preached this very sermon when I was about 36 years old. 10 years. No, earlier than that. It was 2001. I was 30 years old. 15 years ago, I preached the same sermon. Preached it right here in this pulpit. The same exact sermon. I would love to hear a tape of that. Because can you believe in 15 years what I've gone through? But I can tell you this. 15 years ago to tonight, I'm not going to rehearse it. Amen? It's not worth it. Let it go. Now, I might enumerate it. I might say, listen, you know, it's a fact that, not me, I'm talking about, it's a fact, you know, I was in a hospital. You know, the pastor, he mentions times, look, I came through, I went, because people need to hear those stories of faith. Amen? You know, we are to erect those stones, those monuments. What mean ye these stones? This is when the Lord brought us through. We are to have a testimony. But that's the thing. It's got to be positive. It's got to be an element of faith. But don't keep rehearsing it. You need to neglect that hurt and don't keep talking down about it. How you're never going to, because of this, my life is forever changed. I'm just pull out a tissue and cry. Listen, God can work despite it. So don't rehearse it. Can I get an amen? You see, if you take air away from a human, it dies. You take water away from a fish, it dies. You take thoughts away from your past, it dies. Don't rehearse it. That's what happened to Joseph. Joseph called his firstborn son Manasseh. The name Manasseh means God hath made me forget. Now, notice he said, God made me forget. He didn't say, because I have forgotten. I'm sure Joseph was like anybody else. Can you believe my lousy, low-down brothers sold me into the slavery and threw me in a pit and didn't even pull me up? Do you ever hear that out of Joseph? Come on now. No, you don't. Why? Because God made him to forget. Can you imagine Joseph going through Potiphar's house and then Potiphar's wife and Joseph keeping his integrity, and because of that, he's thrown into the dungeon. You know, there's something powerful about the conscience. In his conscience, he knew before God that he did not do anything wrong to his brothers, and he didn't do anything wrong to Potiphar's wife. And my friend, when you walk in a conscience clean before God, when you have asked God to check your motives and ask God to keep you humble and pure, and then things happen, then praise God, then it happens. And you know that you're in touch with God, and you know that he's going to work it through, because when Joseph's brothers came to him, and you know, now here's the thing, Joseph's brother's conscience is totally different, wasn't it? Because when they came to Joseph, and he didn't know he was Joseph, he was trying to fill them out. He was trying to see if they were still the same old scoundrels and how he was going to deal with them. Now, he was going to love them and forgive them, but he needed to know, had their hearts changed? Because he could have just immediately killed them. And so he kept back one of the brothers. Because he knew that if they didn't love his Benjamin, his brother, not Benjamin, who was Joseph's younger brother? Was it Benjamin? It was, Joseph and Benjamin, okay. It was the other son of Rachel. Anyway, Joseph knew if I keep him back, and they're like they used to be, they won't ever come back. They'll tell my dad that we're dead, and because they're going to be all about them. They're going to be scared to death to face me. But you know what? They came back because God had changed their hearts. But Joseph never one time rehearsed. And when Jacob died, the brothers said, we better talk to Joseph and say, Daddy said for you to forgive your servants. You know why they were doing that? Their conscience was screaming. And yet the Bible says that Joseph looked at this, guys, don't you worry about it. He did not rehearse it. Like, guys, it's true. You threw me in that pit. You know how hot it was in that pit? There were snakes down in that pit. Guys, you know those Ishmaelites, how they kicked me around. I'm telling you, fellows, you better walk a straight line because I might just, you better. No, no, no. He looked at them and said, listen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Sound like a survivor to me. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? He didn't rehearse it. Be careful when you rehearse the hurts. When people do you wrong, just don't do it. And I tell you something else. Don't rehearse sinful things in your past. You need to forget the sinful pleasures of the past. And you need to, and here's something else you don't need to rehearse. It's your own failures. Oh, I had such an opportunity, Pastor, and I blew it. Okay, well, move on. 2 years later, Pastor, I had such a great opportunity, but I blew it. Okay, let's pray. 5 years later, Pastor, I just had a great opportunity and I messed up. Okay, forget it. Today is a new, you got all eternity ahead of you. God can take and make the, restore the years that the cankerworm hath eaten and the palmer worm and the caterpillar. Listen, God can turn it around. Amen. Somebody say amen tonight. Amen. Praise God. Don't you nurse it, say amen. Amen. Don't you curse it, say amen. Amen. And don't you rehearse it, say amen. And you disperse it. What does that mean? You let it go. There's an old familiar story about a man who was walking along the edge of a cliff and he fell over. About a third of the way down of the cliff, he reached out and grabbed this vine that was growing out of the side of a rock. And he was hanging there and dangling thousands of feet from death. And he began to cry out, help, help, help. Somebody help me. Well, all of a sudden, a deep voice was heard from heaven that said, my son, I will help you. The man said, oh, dear God, I'm so glad to hear your voice. I'm so grateful that you will help me. Please get me out of this predicament. God said, I will if you do exactly what I tell you to do. The man said, oh God, I'll do anything you ask me. Just get me out of this mess. And God said, let go of the vine. The man said, what? God said, let go of the vine. The man said, you've got to be kidding. God said, no, if you want me to save you, let go of the vine. Silence. The man went into deep thought. He looked up into the heavens and said, is there anybody else out there? I'm telling you, folks, it's hard to let go, isn't it? It's hard for us to let go. Come on, disperse it. Let it go. Rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Be happy in the Lord. Don't be depressed. Don't be disappointed. Don't be discouraged. Hear the word of the Lord. God is going to favor you. He's going to turn the blessing into a curse. lift up the hands that hang down. Your day tends to go the same as the corners of your mouth. If your mouth is like this, that's the way your day is going to go. But if your mouth is like this, that's the way your day is going to go. Disperse it. Glory to God. Even in difficult situations. Even in difficulties. Well, I don't like going to the doctor. We'll be thankful we have doctors to go to. I don't like that bill I got for my light bill. Well, would you rather be in the dark? Well, the price of gas is going up. Well, at least you don't have to walk. This spirit of gripe and complaint, it's too cold, it's too hot, I'm too short, I'm too big, I'm too this, the preacher's too loud, the preacher's not loud enough, the sound system's too loud, sound system's too soft, complain. Always focus on, disperse it, glory to God, hallelujah. Be positive in Jesus Christ. Our God is a good God, as the pastor says. Amen. There's one thing about Pastor Jerry Nelson. It's upbeat. It's positive. It's gung-ho. It's all the way. It's we're marching on. We're going to take the hill. Glory to God. I don't care if we've been defeated. He's like General Patton. Glory to God. Amen, somebody. As that movie, that movie called Patton, which I do not like that movie. I watched it once. I hate that. Foul language is in that movie. But there's one scene in that movie. I'm telling you, this man was a go-getter. Make things happen. And they were trying their best to get ahead of and to get to Berlin. And all of the mud and all, how many of you remember seeing that scene in that movie? And all the army, he's like, this line couldn't move. That line, they were all stuck. And General Patton got out of there. And he got up there and he started directing traffic. You this way, you that way. And about no time, boy, that thing was moving. Man, that's what we need. Amen. We need to move on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Move on from the hurt. Move on from 1998. Praise God. Move on that when things don't go your way. Move on for what your spouse said to you 3 years ago. Listen, praise God that God's able to turn things around. Amen. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Disperse it with your praise. You have to disperse depression. You have to disperse guilt. I'm not going to let up. You know what? If I sit down and think about all the times I have failed, I can get guilt. I can get depressed in a heartbeat. I don't feel worthy to preach. And I really don't. I do not feel, I am not coming to you tonight self-righteous, because I'm going to tell you, I know my faults and I know my failures, but I know my God when he laid his hand upon me. And despite my, people say, well, God just can't use me. Oh, let me tell you, God can use you if you'll disperse it. Amen. If you'll let go of the hurt. You remember the story of the scapegoat? There was two goats. One had to be slain, but the other, that's why they call it the escape or escape. The scapegoat. He was escorted to the wilderness and released. Now, friend, both things had to happen. And I preach this. It's called let the old goat go. I was having lunch with Michael Harp, and he's like, Brother Ricky, Wesley Payton came through and preached a sermon that I've never forgotten. It's called Let the Old Goat Go. I said, I gave him that sermon. Anyway, that's, forgive me, I need to let it go, right? I need to quit rehearsing that. Oh, isn't God good? Amen. I'm just glad I didn't preach it that night. I didn't know he'd preach up there. Listen, nothing new's under sun. Amen. And let me tell you something about preaching. When I hear some preaching, and it's good, I'm going to preach it. Amen. Amen. I used to tell people, I love to hear Jensen Franklin preach, and they'd come to church here when I was here at Living Waters, and they say, well, I miss Jensen Franklin. I said, don't worry about it. Because what if he preached Monday night? I'm going to wind up preaching, I promise you, because it's good. It's a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We need each other's ideas and thoughts, and preaching begets preaching. And if I get encouraged, I'm going to pass it along. Say amen, somebody. But let the old goat go. If they had killed the one goat, which represents the death of Christ, amen. But what if they held on to that other goat? They're supposed to let that thing go. But what if they held on to it? No, we can't hold on to things. We need to let that old goat go. Amen. We need to disperse it. We need to let the failure go. We need to let the sin go. I say it like this. When you release your hurts, when you release your hurts, you are released. It is impossible that offenses should come. Woe through whom that offense comes. Notice the wording, through whom that offense comes. I used to think of that scripture as I'm the one who's offending. But then I thought about it. I was reading it today and God gives me fresh revelation. It's like, don't let the offense even get into your spirit. Don't let it come through you. Somebody say amen tonight. Have a sweet spirit. Have a spirit of forgiveness. If somebody doesn't show up on time, love them anyway. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross, what did he say, church? He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Come on, lift your hands up. Father, into your hands I release this to you. I release my spirit to you. Come on. I release my hurts to you. I release my pain to you. I'm in agony. I'm on the cross. But Father, into your hands. And Lord, I know if I release my spirit to you, that there's coming a resurrection day. And God's going to turn the evil into a blessing. And he cannot keep, the grave did not keep Jesus down. And the grave's not going to keep you down. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you've been hurt, or if you've been disappointed, don't nurse it. Don't curse it. Don't rehearse it. You disperse it. And the last point, God will reverse it. Hallelujah. I said, God is the God of the reversal. God is the God of the second chance. Somebody say the second chance. Here's another one for you. God is the God of the second chance. Say that with me. God is the God of the second chance. Here's another one. God is the God of the second chance. Amen. How many of you need more than one second chance? How many of you need more than 2 seconds? Listen, I'm going to, until I die, need some more second chances. And God is the God of reversal and second chances. And you can begin again. He is the God of restoration. And let me tell you something about restoration. God doesn't restore it like before. He restores it. Amen. See, some of these people like the Kenny Williamson evangelist preached last year for us. He did it masterfully. He talked about an old car on center block. Do you remember that sermon? And then people putting new stuff on it. And then when the thing's over with, it's more expensive and it's better material, because that's what God wants to do. He wants to make things better than before. Somebody say better than before. Better than before. Consider Joseph. God reversed it. Say amen. Consider Moses. God reversed it. Say amen. Consider David. God reversed it. Can you say amen? Consider Jonathan, who was was fighting the Philistines, and there was just him and his armor bearer, but God reversed it. Amen. And they won a great victory. Hallelujah. Consider the apostles, Peter and Paul and Silas. They were thrown in jail, but God reversed it. And then the very jail that held them, they turned around, and the jail that held them captive became a place where they held them captive under the power of Jesus Christ. I said, God can reverse cancer. God can reverse heart disease. God can reverse the curse of somebody who's out to get you. God can reverse the decline of a church that's not growing. God can reverse a country that's going to hell. Thank God for an election back in 2016 when nobody thought it was going to happen. But God reversed it. Hallelujah. And now we've got an embassy in Israel, in Jerusalem. Why? Because God reverses the curse and stands for his people. Not half the time or once every while, but all the time. You can survive the storm of life. Give him a hand of praise here tonight as I close. Oh, my girlfriend broke up with me, huh? It might have been a blessing in disguise. My wife said, amen. It was a blessing in disguise. I had 3 major girlfriends. that I thought all of them I was going to marry. And then I met Darnell. And praise God. Hallelujah. God knew what was best. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God's good. I'm going to close with this. Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison, the man who invented what? The light bulb. The light bulb. He was an inventor. A lot of people don't know this, but he had a book where he had all of his theories and ideas and sort of like a scrapbook. And in that book was a picture of him, somebody had given him. What a lot of people don't realize is that his laboratory burnt down one time. Just everything he had worked on, all of the experiments. But in the rubble, oh, this is so good. In the rubble of his burnt laboratory, he came across his book. And he picked up the book and it hadn't burned up. But yet it was sooty and it was dusty and the pages were falling apart easy and there was black edges around, water damage where they were trying to put it out. And he turned those creaky pages and some of them would fall apart. And he came to his picture. His picture was intact. His picture was unmolested. He found a writing utensil. And he wrote something to these words. I don't know if these are exact words, but something like this. Despite it all, it didn't touch me. Would you stand with me tonight? Lift up your hands to the Lord despite it all. Hallelujah. You can survive the fire and the flood. Despite it all, he's still God on the throne. Don't nurse it. Don't curse it. Don't rehearse it. You disperse it right now with some praise and some faith and believing that God is able to turn it around and God will reverse it. It won't touch you. Glory to God. You'll still be there and God will help you to rebuild. And Thomas Edison went on and rebuilt his laboratory and invented the light bulb. And aren't you glad tonight we have church with light bulbs? Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Pastor, come on up tonight. Amen. I want you to give a hand to our pastor. We have surely missed him tonight. Amen. Come on up.
I'd just like to go out with a song. And you can walk out whenever you have to. I realize it's getting a little late. But talking about surviving the storm of disappointment. F. Cord.
Yes, sir.
Well, one day the sun refused to shine. In this dreary life of mine, I prayed both night and day that Jesus would make a way. Then Jesus heard my humble cry. He answered me right then and there. One day he made a way for me, singing church. I said, Jesus, he's the way maker. Jesus, he's the way maker.
Oh, yes.
He's the way maker. One day he made a way for me. When my life was dark and drear, came and he answered my prayer. One day he made a way for me. Hallelujah. I said, Jesus, he's the way maker.